You're on. Okay. Sorry, these mechanical things. Anaikanao is the other word, and they're just closely related. Some don't even list them separately. And we look at this today, and we see the inward man is renewed day by day. We'll talk a little bit about that. It's kind of interesting. Do I dare ask questions about forums? Somebody wrote a paper on the inward man. Now, that was last year, and Dale wrote a good paper. If you didn't get a chance, go back and read it again. I know I'm prejudiced in many ways, but there are papers that my brother has written that deserve your attention. And they're really good. If he put those in a book form, I mean, if it was put in a book form, it would answer a lot of details related to spiritual life. And so we're kind of working in that area a little bit. Now, it's interesting because in 2 Corinthians 3:10, we have renewed again with this same root. And what he says, let me get the King James, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And it's rather interesting because you have new man, which is naos, and that's that word down on the bottom of the bulletin cover. The new man, new in time, something different. And then we have our verb in a new quality, with a new quality. And so we'll be there, and that's the target for next week in this matter. And then we have this... Boy, let me get my verb here. It's ananoetomai, y'all, my ending on it. And that is found in Ephesians 4:23. And it says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Three great subjects that we'll be relating to. And that means renewed in time, as we will be working our way through that. So the inward man is being renewed day by day. If you're looking at the interlinear and the Greek text, it's day and day. And we'll talk a little bit about it as we look at it as we move into this material. We have been at 4:7 a number of times, because we've talked about this issue of something that's in clay pots. I had a bunch of bulletin covers I could have used today. I could have used that clay pots bulletin cover, if you remember. We have this treasure in clay pots. I could have used the bulletin cover which deals with knocked down but not knocked out. You remember that one? Because that's in this section. And I didn't. Because I needed to use the new thing so we could be reminded of new. So I kind of put this together rather quickly so we'd have that reminder. It's easy to forget the distinction and not remember which word means which. And so it's there, and that's going to make a big difference as we relate. And so in 4:7 of 2 Corinthians... Good, now that took care of it permanently. As soon as I get a thing of water up here, it goes away. Thank you, Tommy. I say that because it seems that's what happens, though I'm not sure that's not going to work today. 4:7, what does it say? Well, we have this treasure, this thesaurus, this treasure, in Ostrica. And I trust by the time we've been through this as many times as we have, that's clay pots. Made with the hand of the potter, as it were. And these are earthen vessels. Earthenware, ostrica vessels. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. He put us in a pretty fragile kind of thing. And has the indwelling of the person of Jesus Christ. He puts him in these earthenware vessels. You know, it's kind of interesting. I was thinking about this week. Again, coming back to that earthenware vessel. you realize that very probably an earthenware vessel is more fragile than an egg. Why do I say that? Because the physics are better in an egg. It's really interesting. I still have trouble trying to figure out why an egg, when I crack it, tends to leave a deposit before I can get it where I want it to go. You know, I and pop it open. My son is really good at just taking three fingers and popping the egg in half, and then I think I don't want it on my fingers, and he doesn't get it on his fingers, so I don't know. But that egg is really designed. When God designed an egg to do what an egg does, it's amazing. Did any of you, when you were in high school, have that project in a physics class? Someone made it a contest where you had an egg and you had to put it in a container and drop it from so many feet. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And then whoever's egg didn't break, the yolk wasn't on them in that matter. But anyway, oh, I know, bad humor. In that matter. But it's interesting. These clay pots are not always reliable. Some of the very best craftsmen, when you look at clay pots. If you've known anybody who was a potter, and they had a kiln, and I have, you have to be really, really careful when you load your kiln with whatever you've done. If there's water in your clay to the wrong extent, it will blow up whatever you've done. I always kind of smile. My brother-in-law had that kind of a situation. He was making all of these things, and there were days he would open his kiln and he'd have, you know, 60, 70 objects in there, and there would be almost always four or five of them that had blown up, fallen apart. And he tried his dead level best not to have that happen. Then he found out that he was far from alone in that matter. But they're fragile. And that's what God says. I'm putting the life of Christ in somebody who's super fragile. And you're dependent on what's within rather than what's without. And that's the key to this whole thing. Now, I almost, when I said I was going to read the King James this morning, I did that on purpose because I wanted so bad to read and expand 8 and 9. I wanted so bad, and I knew that if I did it, it would be a distraction. And so I put my distraction in the introduction. Because what I did in your notes under letter B, and I'm going to read those, and you have all of these are passives except for one. And it's technically a middle, which is probably a passive. And what Paul says, we are troubled on every side. Let's go ahead, and I'm going to read my translation of it. Being under pressure, that's the word tribulated, being under pressure, but not being ruined for the purpose which is intended. Next half of the verse, being perplexed, but not altogether without help. These verses are not bad to remember sometimes. Being continually persecuted. The word persecute means, it comes from the root that means pursue. Being chased, pursued, but not being abandoned. He doesn't use the word orphan, but it's a word kind of like that. Not being left all alone and abandoned. Then, the second half of verse 9, I forgot to put the verses on these. 3. Being continually knocked down, but not knocked out. And the word is destroyed. And you know, we go through these beginning statements. We're under pressure. Sometimes pressure gets so great. We can be so perplexed, we can't figure out what's happening. We feel like we're being pursued by so many things of life. And then this thing, we get knocked around. We might be knocked down. That's why I like that bulletin cover. Because I've got that guy knocked down, but he's not knocked out. And so when we understand this, God is, and notice they're all passives. The only place that there is a middle form and is identified with a middle is in being perplexed in middle of verse 8. And so he talks about all these difficulties in life. Now, why am I going back here? Because we're talking about being renewed. We're talking about something that happens because of the context. Life is this way. Life is going to be a pressure time. Life is going to be a time of difficulty often. Life is not perfect. It's always going to have its things that come along, whatever goes on. And you can think of the little things that interrupt. You know, to me, I think the biggest problems that any of us tend to have would be the car or the house. I mean, it seems like there's a lot of pressure with something that goes on in both of those places. The car doesn't start. The car isn't running right. The tire is low. The tire is not going, it's making funny noises. And you start thinking the worst. And maybe you should have earlier in the matter on that. And the house on it. You know, there are things that go on in the house that you wonder about. The other day, I walked out to my garage. And I looked, I have a rug in there. And I looked down, and there was water. It's called time to be concerned. And I had to just kick my brain in gear, because I don't want my garage wet with water, obviously. And I was afraid, and it hadn't been that long since I replaced my water heater, and I was afraid it was leaking on me. And then I just remembered, oh, that's right, I had the water on that I'd shut off. And the valve has a little problem that when I open the valve to my front faucet, that it will drip for a while. Just a once in a blue moon drip. And one of my kids' Christmas presents was duct cleaning. So now all the quackers are clean. So I pushed the T on it. And in order to do the duct cleaning, what they do, they use the same stuff they do for carpet cleaning. And so they have water and a big heavy-duty vacuum cleaner. And so he needed some water on out where his machine was, and so I turned it on. And that's why I had water. And as soon as I rationalized it, then I said, okay, that'll dry. That's okay. Once I turned it right off. I mean, made sure it was tight. I'm going to have to get somebody that knows how to make that thing work so that it shuts all the way off. Brand new valve almost. So anyway, these things are pressure. And you can worry about them. And they can drive you nuts on it. And I was thinking the other day, it's been a few weeks ago now, when I was walking one day, I didn't know the whole story. But there were two cars, a car and a pickup, that were in a driveway down Willamina. And I walked by, and the car was smashed, and this pickup, which had a for sale sign on, which they were trying to get rid of with a camper, was smashed in the driveway. And I thought, what in the world? This is really weird on it. And then after the fact, I found out somebody come around, probably way too fast, hit both of them in the middle of the night. And then finally, it would have been hit and run, but they finally came back and said that's what had happened. But I have a funny feeling it totaled two vehicles on it. And so it was interesting, and I thought, oh man, if I woke up in the morning and was going to work and there was both vehicles that are sitting in the driveway are smashed. It took them almost a week to get them out of the driveway, which there was all this tape around and everything else, so they were investigating it, I think. Sounds like somebody's insurance company didn't want to pay for it on it. But see, that kind of thing, these are just illustrations. We have all kinds of weird things that happen that put pressure on us or get us frustrated, and it can get real, real bad And so we understand that. And so in verse 10, it says, "But always bearing about by the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be manifest by our body." This matter of our relationship to Jesus Christ, we have a physical body, and this body is kind of an interesting problem sometimes. Always bearing about in the body, or by the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus. This physical body is one of those sources of some of our issues, isn't it? We never know from one day to the next what is going to happen related to our physical body. And I know some saints that say, "Will it ever end?" And they really don't want it to end the way it's going to end, but it's they worry about how long it's going to be. Because there, it seems like one thing compounds on another and another. I've been very, very sympathetic with Robert Woodward. Last Sunday night, after church, I was out with him and with his Uncle Dale. We were talking about this service and getting it in some order. And Robert has that flare-up of Crohn's disease. And he is writhing. And I'm thinking, why am I here? I mean, he's in so much pain, he needs to get to bed and see if he can take some something to knock him over, knock him out. He's got these really terrible physical issues. And, I mean, it's hard to talk to somebody about a memorial service for their father when the groans and moans and the reflexes of pain were all a part of it. And I just felt, what in the world, Robert, you should have told me. But I'm sure it was triggered when Gary died. But the stress of it all triggered the Crohn's attack. And I'm thinking about that. You know, as a believer, these verses work, you know, in this matter. God's not going to let us go beyond that. And in that case. But we all have some physical issues of some kind, one way or another. And we're not going to sit down and make a list of all our maladies. In this matter, if we started to make a list and you started to make a list, you start feeling bad, and that's not good in this matter. So verse 10, you know, it's so the life can be manifested. You realize that some of the stuff that goes on in our lives is just to keep us, so that the death of Christ can be effective in our lives, so the life of Christ can be manifested in these clay pots that are defective. Thank you, Adam. And so we're reminded. And so this is that possibility. Now, and I'm not going to go on down through the verses here, but it's really interesting when you realize there's a concept of resurrection. I intend to go to verse 16, and that will set us up for where we want to do with our passage. "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is being renewed." I don't think we need to get more context than we have. Faint not. And that leads us, I mean, the outer man has a problem. And we sometimes don't understand it. We read it and it says the outer man perishes. You know, it's not perish, per se. It's not the word that you see in John 3:16. This is a little different word. It's a word, a form of the word decay. It's in the process. Our outer man is in the process of decaying. It wears down. It gets rotten. And it seems so difficult so often that we have this problem. And so as we begin and we work in this verse, we will see a little bit more about what goes on. It says, "We faint not." If it was faint, I won't ask this question, because if somebody did faint in the last month, I'm not sure I want to know about it. But how many people, this is rhetorical, have fainted? Fainting, you know, maybe I should say it this way. How many months has it been since you fainted? Maybe we ought to make it this way. How many years has it been since you fainted? Maybe we ought to make it this way. Have you ever fainted? You know. Because if we have to faint to meet the criteria of this verse, then most of us don't have much problem with it. It's not talking about fainting spells, and we'll come back to that in just a moment. This destiny of the believer, and I want to go back to 13 and lead in with it this way. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up also through the agency of Jesus, and shall present us with you. At resurrection. This is one of those backdoor kind of verses that tells us that there will be a day when we are presented to the Father in heaven. Now, keep your finger here, and let's go over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And I want to show you, this is the clearer verse that talks about this presenting. And did I say second? It's 1 Thessalonians 3. And it's at the end of verse 3, chapter 3 is verse 13. And it says, to the end that you may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, down before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. What he's talking about there is when we are presented to the Father. The bridegroom brings his bride to the Father's house. And so we are going to be presented to the Father. And that takes us to Ephesians 5 and how the bride will be imperfect, spotless, without wrinkle, because of the work of Christ. And so this presentation will be after the rapture, and will be marched right into the heavenly throne room and presented to the Father. And this word present refers to that very thing. And he says, when he presents, it's us with you. It's us with you. I like that. The reason I like that is because I know what kind of saints these are in Corinth. They're not exactly the best catch as far as saints are concerned. They're carnal saints, generally. They have been. And yet all the benefits package is theirs. They're just carnal. They're not using it. They're getting in the way. They're interfering with what God wants. And Paul says, we're all going to be presented together. Those of you who haven't lived like you should, those of you that have lived by the power of the Spirit of God more times than not, it's not going to make any difference. We're going to be presented. And by then, all of this stuff that we have in our lives isn't going with us. We're going to forget everything behind. Why? When you have something so much better because of what the provisions of grace are, everything in the past that was pleasurable, I don't care whether you like chocolate ice cream or not. I don't think you're going to worry about it when you're presented to the Father. Those are good sort of things. You're not going to worry, because you'll savor the presence of your Savior. And that will make override everything. Of course, I'll do these bodies that will be transformed, but you have a need for chocolate ice cream. For some people, I think they think that heaven wouldn't be heaven without chocolate ice cream, in that matter. But so we'll be presented together in this special way. And the emphasis is here with the soon. Together. There'll be one big unit called the Bride of Christ. The minute the rapture takes place, at that moment, the body is transformed into the bride. And we will be presented as a bride. And all of these benefits we share in the body of Christ will accrue to us through being the bride of Christ. And, let's use the other term, we'll be the consort, part of the consort of the King of Kings. And that's an amazing thing when we think in those terms. Grace? Grace, grace. And we'll, and we will, you know, I don't think Amazing Grace is going to be adequate when we get to heaven. But there will be something we'll probably be singing that is equivalent, not equivalent, that is superior. And that when we respond to the grace of God, and that makes a difference. And so it's interesting as we move down to verse 15 as a backdrop, and that's part of the way I intended to go. And that is verse 15 says, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace may through the thanksgiving of many abound," or cause to abound, "to the glory of God." This thing of abounding is an active. But what God does is seen as active in this matter. And this abundant grace, when we think of grace, the word grace has the idea of being increased and increased and increased. It's that big. And we will get more and more aware of the extent of the grace of God. We learn a little here, and we are thankful. As we mature, we learn a little more, and we are thankful. But when we get to heaven, we won't learn at all. It's going to take an eternity to learn the extent of grace. And we will be involved in thanksgiving and worship and praise into the ages of the ages as we relate to our Savior, God's Son, in this matter. Now, that's my first point of my outline, which I needed renewed in the inner man. This thing of renewal is in this 16th verse, "For which cause we faint not," and I'm going to come back to that. We are renewed, and this is our kainos word, a new kind of renewal. The Christian life, as it is, as we are growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord, seems new in a way almost every day. It's a new quality of life. We see things differently as we go through life. And this thing of new in quality, new in kind, is what he's talking about. And as we have these pressures that are placed on us in our physical existence, he says, "I know, I understand. There's not a bad, there's not a reason to be fainting, even though our outward man perishes, our outward man decays." Funny, you always think of decay as coming from inside out. It's kind of interesting. I have this habit that I do because I don't happen to like to spend money on things that are decaying. And I have this procedure I use when I get a case of oranges at Costco. And in fact, the last case I bought, which was Thursday, they were restacking the oranges. And so what did I do? I walked up and did my procedure. First thing I did was take the lid off so I could look at the two layers of oranges. The second thing I did, I sniffed. And I sniffed all over that. They must have thought that I was a dog. As I sniffed because I can smell the spoilage. I can smell if there's some rot started. Then, not trusting my sniffer, I take the first top layer and move it all around, look at all of the oranges and make sure there's no decay. I don't have a lot of faith in Costco oranges. And the very idea of having one that's spoiled is against my grain. I'm just way, I've got too much scotch in me. I'm too frugal. The very idea of buying something spoiled gets to me. And you know, it's kind of interesting, this thing of perishing on the outside. Those oranges, yeah, they start kind of from the outside. But when you get down on that navel orange, when the navel has too much lint in it, no, that's not lint. That navel has starting to turn black, and it's got stuff. I mean, you look at it real close and you can see a little bit of color, and you know that you don't want that box of oranges. I hate it when I walk up to that stack of oranges to get a box, because I buy a box of them every few weeks, and I hate it when I can smell spoil. You know, there's a big stack of, you know, a couple hundred cases, and I don't know how many of them are spoiled, but I can smell. And I'm going into a real persnickety gear in that matter. This decay thing, it's rot. It's something that comes within us, and our outward man is rotting. More ways than one. We live on this earth, and it was interesting. This last week, that young man, what was his name, Sam, that had that disease that made him an old man, and he died. He made it to 17, much to the amazement of the doctors, because they didn't think he was going to live more. I think he was 12. And he lived in Foxborough, Massachusetts. The owner of the Patriots got wind of his, well, I think you saw the movie, found out about him, and went out of his way to give him opportunity to relate to the New England Patriots. And so he was at the game. It was really interesting. He had a picture on the internet, and here's this little old man shrunken up, and it just thought, oh, wow, because I've read about that disease. Whether it's treatable or not, there are not enough people in this country to make it worth treating, quote unquote. On that, decay, perishing. But you walk, and I have an opportunity to go and see some kids I went to college with. Whether I'm going to do it or not, I have to determine that. Because there's a big anniversary coming for my college class. And what the college does, they honor their golden grads. And they, you know, in their commencement. And they gown you up, and then they give you naval covers, some kind of medal on it. And I thought, do I want to be involved with that? I just want to see the old people. I just want to see how old everybody got. I didn't get old, but I know they did. You know, in that, I suppose it was my thought. And, you know, I mean, it's so interesting. The thing is, the last reunion I went to of that college class, I got voted as the one who had changed the most in appearance. Which must have meant that I got older. No. In that. And so this thing of decay, our outward man is not going to always do what we want. And sometimes it's really difficult, as we find as age comes on and other things happen in our lives, and we are limited in what we're capable of doing. And we're more susceptible to problems. You know, I get an annual lecture when I go in for my annual physical. And it's not a lecture, it's a question, and then the lecture comes. How many rugs do you have in your house? And if I tell him the truth, then I get the lecture. So I tend to tell him the truth and get the lecture. You know, he doesn't say, throw them out. But what he says, you need to consider getting rid of those, because you don't want to break a hip at a certain point. And I'm years beyond the lecture on getting on ladders. You know, anybody after a certain age is not supposed to get up on a ladder. And I hear that. And I heard it back before I was 60 even, in that matter. But this thing of problems of this kind, and you know what he says, which cause we faint not? Faint is not a good translation. It's the word kakos, and in a verb form, and it means to feel bad. To feel bad. It's not fainting, it's feeling bad. There are lots of interesting times when you feel bad. And when we look at it, that's an issue that we face. And so our outward man can have a lot of problems. And I love the stories, and I don't say never. I learned that a long time ago from some experience of other people who said, oh, this will never happen to me. And then it's worse. And I've heard that a number of times. It'll never happen to me. Just don't say never. I mean, don't. You know what you want. And you know what you'd like to be. But you can't tell how you're going to be if you get certain illnesses, if you have some kinds of handicap, or if sometimes you get old. You know, and that idea never happened to me. I'm going to be sweet me when I'm 90 years old, and I'm not going to change from the sweet who I am. And it's interesting what can happen in that matter. And I think of that with these Alzheimer's situations. You've got mean Alzheimer's and you've got not so mean. I should say not so. People that are not really, they're just off in la-la land in that matter. And it's interesting. I experienced not so mean with my sister-in-law. I think she went so fast at a certain point in time, she didn't get reactionary. And so she never hit anybody. She never reacted in that way. In fact, she never ran away from home. That is, walked away from home. Sometimes she, early on, she would drive away from home and couldn't find her way home at that. So she always needed to have my non-driving mother-in-law with her so that she could get even more lost. But that's the way that worked in that matter. But you know, don't say you're not going to be some way. By the grace of God, maybe you should better put that little stip on that. By the grace of God, it's not going to happen. We do not know what God's going to permit in our lives at all. And don't forget, when he does permit some of those things, it's okay. We don't like it, but it's okay. And we need to remember that. So this thing is, we faint not, we do not feel bad, though the outward man perishes. When we have that problem, the inward man is renewed day by day. Have you been there where you've gone to visit a believer and you want to go to encourage him? And you come out the door encouraged by them. And you kind of feel like, I didn't need to be there. Yes, I did. I needed to be encouraged. I didn't know that. But I walked in the door and that saint was such an encouragement, I could not help but say, thank you, Father. You see that. That happens over and over and over again among God's people. And so we go on an errand of mercy and we are mercified. Someone else shows us that we went there for a different purpose and we were the ones that really needed it. And we didn't know it, had no idea. And we came out and God strengthened us. And our presence probably strengthened the person because they saw somebody was interested in them and cared. And if you do it out of agape and you love one another that way, it's awesome. And so here Paul is talking about this outward problems that can occur. And there's a lot of pressure. And there was. I think part of the problem in Corinth in their carnality was they compromised with their carnality. Come out from among them. Be ye separate. Because they were carnal, they got involved, so they got tribulated. No, they were placed in tribulation. They had problems. And they became very gun-shy, I think, in their Christian faith of being a testimony. They didn't want to volunteer to be slapped around. And so God says, okay, it's my spirit, if you let him do it, is going to take care of this thing. They didn't know how to be led by the Spirit as a majority in Corinth. And so when he says this, he's trying to encourage them to let Christ live out through them and get clear out of the way. There's our nice little passive. And to be out of the way, and then he says, yet the inward man, the inside. Man isn't doesn't occur a second time, but it is implied. You can fill in the ellipsis. And he says, your inner man is what? Renewed, made new again in quality. How you relate? I don't know, maybe I'm too much of an idealist. But you know, I really think that that the kind of feeling that came when you got saved isn't dead. Some people think that, well, I had this, I was gloriously saved, I had all of this happen, but that was just for then to get me started. And I think that it, if you're using your head and have it in the right place, that same kind of response mentally produces an soulish response and a positive and that happiness and that, and I'm using happiness in a term, I'm not saying joy, I'm talking about happiness. That comes from the soul. That happiness is okay. And it's okay to be happy and to realize that you're in a position in Christ that should make your soul happy because you have joy, which is going to produce that kind of happiness. And I just don't like the standard that some have. Well, I had a wonderful salvation experience, and that's the only thing they remember. And I saw that too much as a kid. And when I say that, I'm sitting in a church with a bunch of people who were professing believers, and we were in the day where there were these testimony meetings. And people would get up and give testimonies. And it became almost imperative for some to get up. And they said the same thing forever. And they remembered what went on back in the days of their salvation. 30, 40, 50 years before. And when you got, and as a kid, I was just naive enough to say, didn't anything happen to you since then? Hasn't anything gone on? Why do you fall in love with a brush arbor? Saved in a brush arbor meeting out in this, you know, in this, you know what a brush arbor is? It's that. It's, they just make a, in fact, they, Billy Sunday made some brush arbors that would seat a couple thousand people. He must have had leather lungs. But a brush arbor was made of brush stuck on top of, to break the sun. And they would have a brush arbor meeting with food on the ground. So you have, what do they call it? Anyway, they would have that. And they looked back to the past, and that was it. It was like God saved them in the past, never done anything for them since. And they get up in the testimonies, and as kids, we would play the game. You said, as soon as somebody started to stand up to give a testimony, you just, in your head, you said, oh no, not again. Not again. You kind of got to the point you thought, I could quote their testimony almost verbatim because I know what they're going to say. And it was funny, my dad felt kind of the same way. He never said anything to them or anything about it. He tried. You know, he'd say, we're going to have a testimony meeting. Tell us what God has done for you this week or this month. Well, back in the brush arbor 40, 50 years ago, you know, and I'm sitting there, and I don't know whether we really talked about it a lot. We may have, because I was that kind of a kid. I wondered why people don't have the joy of their salvation like they did in the beginning. For one thing, they didn't know the spiritual life. And the toils of life were too much for many of them, and that's all they could remember. So they cling to that with everything they had and miss the blessings of what could have happened this week. And so here, I mean, this verse, I think, we're renewed when? Year by year. No. What is it? a century by century? No. No, it's day by day. I smiled when Billy said we're going to sing day by day. Knowing it was here. Now, if you're looking at the Greek in this, and you'll see it, what does it say? Instead of day by day, it says day and day. Day and day and day and day. I mean, that can just keep on going. And so day by day is okay. But it's day after day, every day, we have this renewedness when we're out of the way. And too many of us are trying to solve our own problems that come our way without letting God do His thing. We want to interfere. We've got better designs for our lives than He does. And I'm here to tell you this thing of fainting, this first verb, is in the case of many, many believers because their plans fall through. And they blame God for their plans. You've never done that. But there are a lot of people that sure have. I just knew. That's why I bought 100 lottery tickets. I knew it was God. And I didn't get any more than $2 out of the 100. I don't think that's the way the odds work in that. But anyway, God did not bless me. I wanted the millions, not the $2. And I couldn't afford the other money I spent. But you see, people make up their plans that way. I mean, it's really interesting. I'm always reluctant to talk about the lottery. Because I'm not going to win the lottery. Why? I don't buy tickets. That's why I won't win the lottery. I pay enough taxes as it is. So why go to a grocery store and pay whatever it costs for a lottery ticket for taxes? And on the, what? That's not a very good deal. Stick your money in the stock market, you get a better return probably. And that's not good. That's the other kind of gambling on that. So here in 2 Corinthians, we're renewed day by day. Get out of the way. Let him make you new in quality. Your attitude will change. You don't have to feel bad. Your attitude is going to change. And that decaying corpse you're hauling around that's been dying from the, the minute you were born, that decaying corpse is, I mean, it's going to be changed into one like his, and it's not going to be decaying. And when we think of that, that will encourage us in this matter, and the inward man is strengthened and finds resources and made new in quality again. And it's every day is a better day, another day is a brighter day. And it, when somebody says, you know, how are you doing today? Or, you know, I mean, we talk to a number of people. I can't keep my mouth shut. I mean, at least I'll say hello to somebody. Some people I do it on purpose, just let them know that there's other people around in that matter. But I'll say that and there's some good responses sometimes. You know what I want to say so bad? You know, how's it going today? I want to say, another day closer to heaven. So I want to say really bad a lot of times. Then there's another response, and I learned it from a guy that was our principal in El Serrani. And they'd ask him the question, how are you doing today? And he said, never better. And the fun part was, he was one of the people who said that, and it was that way. He was learning. He was an older guy, and he was growing. It was unbelievable to me, almost. I could tell him how much of an encouragement he was to me as a pastor. A young pastor, fresh out of seminary. And he was as old as my father. And he would willingly learn God's word. He knew what he didn't know, generally. And it was an encouragement. And when anybody'd say anything, it was always never better. And I thought about that for a while. That's the way it ought to be, isn't it? Never better, another day closer to heaven. And so we have a lot of ways we can respond. But it's interesting in the next verse, he says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. I always smile when I read this word moment. It ain't long in God's program. You know, when you realize that 1,000 years in the Psalms is a night watch. That's 6 hours. That's just to help us understand. A day with the Lord is 1,000 years in the Petrines. And so you have that picture. It's just for a moment. Work with us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Works in us. This stuff that comes our way that's so difficult, if we get out of the way and let God renew us day to day, from day after day, it's going to give him glory. And you notice there are some superlative ideas here. And more exceeding, far more exceeding, excessive, something that is thrown beyond. Huper balo. Balo is easy. When you learn Greek vocabulary, balo means to throw. So you throw the balo. And so balo and then huper extends beyond. And this glory goes far beyond what you can throw. And that's a blessing when we think in those terms, an eternal weight of glory. While we look not at things which are seen, but things which are not seen. You know, if we look at things which are seen and we look at the stuff down here, you listen to the news, you read the news and all of this, doesn't it tend to drag you down? Sometimes you feel like you're wallowing in a pig pen, because you are, in a metaphorical sense. But when it says, for things that are seen are temporal, they involve time. But things which are not seen are eternal. Set your mind, your reflective thinking on things above, and that's outside of this sphere. And that is the focus, I think, as we understand that and we're drawn there, keeping our mind where they need to be and getting there. I think he's saying just a little different way to these Corinthian believers. Get out of the way. Put your mind where it belongs. Don't worry about this stuff down here. Don't be dumb. But still, think in terms of what's heavenly and let that affect your decision-making process. And when you do that, God is going to get glory because he renews you day and day and day and day and day. So that little promise is kind of nice when you understand it's a passive. And maybe it'll encourage a little in this life we live in. And we're going to look at some more renewed, and Lord willing, in the next 2 weeks. Father, may you continue to bless as we relate to the truth of your word. May we find that the joy of our salvation is just that. Joy because we see things more as you do. We see beyond time. We see beyond this earth. We see an amazing relationship that was created to you by our Lord Jesus Christ and the application of his work to us by the Spirit. And we are grateful for that. So may you bless us in our thoughts on these things, and then we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen.